Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
Well, welcome to Church Online at Lifehouse today. And we, it's just really so exciting that soon we will be back together in the room, because I got to tell you, watching Dave talk to an empty room is breaking my heart. But we'll be back together very soon. I want to do a big shout out to anyone who's watching for the very first time today. I want to say thank you for joining us, for tuning in, and we would love to get to know you a little bit. So take the time to connect with us, however you, the things we have available to do that. But I just want to say it's so great to have you with us. And those who are with us every single week, so good. Love it that you're here. Whatever time of the day you manage to watch, just want to pray that this morning God would speak to every single one of us. Well, I'm honored today to finish the series, as Dave mentioned, called Dear Church. And Richard kicked us off with Build Strength for Tomorrow Now. So that was an amazing message. Pastor Ben talked about that we are the light that cannot be ignored. And then we had Pastor Alan come, and he talked about power in prayer. What a great message. And then last week from Richard, praise comes first. So these have just been powerful words. So dear church, prophetic now words for our church today in this season. And I have a word for us today. So today my title is Stay Calm. Jesus is in charge and heaven is open for business. And I am so excited to bring this word for us today. So let me pray for you as just before I really get right into it. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us, that Lord, you want to speak to us fresh today. And I just pray for every person, every family, every home, every ear tuned in, that you would speak to them clearly in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Richard, 1997, he was working as a sales guy, and he won us a trip because he got enough sales. He won this VIP, super, all-included trip to Queensland, to the Gold Coast, to stay at the Marriott Resort for 4 days. Everything was paid for. So we get there, we arrive. It was so exciting because we had never been on a trip like this. We'd never stayed in a five-star resort. It was just so exciting. We arrive there, and the business owner, the guy that he'd been working for, was there to greet us. He's like, everything's on me, guys. Just make yourselves at home. We had this beautiful room. The meals were paid for. He took us out. We went here. We went there. There was about 50 of us in the group. It was just like, wow, this is so exciting. But this guy was, you know, a bit of the, you know, I have everything. The world belongs to me. He was, you know, obviously wealthy, but he wasn't shy in telling us about it. And on the last night, all these chauffeurs pulled up to pick us up, the whole group. So there's these, you know, 20 chauffeurs lined up, the big stretch limos. And we all climb into these cars and we don't know where we're going. He told us to, you know, dress nice. We turn up at Dreamworld. And we get there and he goes, it's open for you guys. Everything here is for you tonight. Nobody else is here. Every ride, all the restaurants, all the food, you can have whatever you want. It's all here for you. We were just blown away, honestly blown away. And God gave me this picture of himself standing in front of us, that he's standing there with these open arms, arms open wide, saying, church, my people, my children, stay calm. Jesus is in charge and heaven is open for business. It's okay. I've got this. He is smiling. He is ready. God has not been caught off guard by your situation. He is not confused. Whatever is going on in your world right now, and I know for all of us, there's so many different things going on. For some of us, it's big world issues. For some of us, we've got some big personal issues, some really difficult things happening that are affecting us. For some of us, it's things that have come at us politically. For others, it's things that have come at us health-wise. But God is not caught off guard by any of those things. You know, I've personally found this season challenging. These different ideas and different things and confusion, disappointment, all the things that even as I've shared with people and spoken to people, they've also felt. You know, I'm not alone in this. Most of us have found things in this season that have been difficult to manage, difficult to navigate. And I found myself thinking, God, where are you? God, has this caught you by surprise? Are you on this? And God says, yes, I'm on it. I'm here. I've got this. And this is my prophetic encouragement to us, His church today, that our Heavenly Father has got this. He is not like that boss in Queensland. He is not like that guy who blessed me with amazingness. He actually does own everything on the earth, my Heavenly Father. That guy just pretended that he did. He just liked to look important. But my God does own everything. He really has it all, and He wants to care for us. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." God's got all of us. God owns the whole thing. Nothing is outside of Him. I don't know about you, but lately if you've been to the supermarket, you've probably noticed there's some sections amongst the shelves that are very empty. Like, we had the whole toilet paper saga, but you know, at the moment I can't get my plant-based, flavor-free protein powder. I can't find it at my supermarket. I've looked online, I've been everywhere, I've been to different Coles. It's missing. And you know what? They're saying that as the shops reopen, there's going to be things missing. Australia Post can't deliver our parcels. Like, there's stuff missing, there's issues, there's problems, there's stuff that's unavailable, but not for heaven, not for heaven. Our Heavenly Father is not limited in His supply. Heaven's shelves are fully, fully stocked. All deliveries are perfectly on time from what heaven has for us. God is not limited. He has no boundaries. He owns everything that is in front of us. Our God is in control. Heaven is open for business. God has got this. Jesus is in charge. You may have heard it before. You may have said it before. I'm telling you, you've got to say it again. Jesus is in charge. He has not taken a holiday. He has not taken leave. He is here amongst us. You can tell I'm a little bit excited about this word this morning. Paul explains this to us in Colossians. If you've been reading along with us in Colossians, you will have read this yourself this week. But let me read it to you. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. We're in good hands, friends. We are in Jesus' hands. He is our Savior, He is our King, and He is in charge. You know, we don't always have to understand everything. Friends, often we're in the middle of it, but we can't really quite grasp. We might see what's today, but we just can't imagine how's this going to work out, because we can't see the end. We don't get the end result. We just get where we've been, where we are, and the faith for where we believe God is taking us. But Jesus, He can see the end. He can see the whole picture, because He's actually not limited by time. God is transcendent. Jesus is transcendent. This is one of the things that describes our God, that makes Him who He is. He's not the God in the past. He's not God in the future. He's the God in the now, the ever-present. The past is the now to Him. The future is the now to Him. Every piece of time, it's not time to Him. He lives and functions above time, outside of time. He sees the beginning, our beginning and our end, as just one big piece. He calls Himself the I Am. He doesn't describe Himself as the I was, I will be, I'm going. He says, I am. I am, I am. At every point in history, I am. Our history. But He is the I Am above all of the boundaries of time. He is always present, ever present. So when we are concerned about what is happening, when we're wondering, is God on the job? Is God doing what he's supposed to do? Does he know what's happening? Yes, he does. He is already in the miracle you've been waiting for. He's already on the other side of that miracle, knowing the outcome. The business you're imagining right now, the business that you're thinking, God, could I do this? He's already at the door opening with everything set up and the staff ready. The healing of your children from anxiety. You're worried right now. You're seeing tensions and things and fruit of this season and you're panicking. But God's already on the other side. God's already seen them restored and full and whole. God's on the other side of your miracle. He can already see the whole picture. He sees the fruit of the provision he's about to bring to you. He sees what that provision has done in your life, not just at arriving, but the fruit of it. He sees the beginning and the end of COVID. We can't see it, but God can. God's got this. And the Bible shows us this clash of realities, us locked in time and God functioning outside time. He shows us this in the story in John chapter 11. Where we see the account of Jesus and his friend Lazarus dying. Lazarus is sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they send to Jesus. They say, Jesus, you've got to come. Your friend is sick. He's really sick. And we're going to pick the story up in John 11. It says, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. He's sitting there with his disciples in another city. He says, no, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So even though Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea. Jesus has heard that his really good friend is sick. And they think he's going to die. It's bad. It's really bad. And Jesus hears the news, but he's not panicked. He's not surprised because he knows that this situation, he sees that over there. They're stuck here. He sees the result, the future, the glory, the exposure of who God is and the miracle he can bring on the earth. That's where he is. His head's there. They're all still living in the reality of this, of the time, of the now. Mary and Martha are living in the pain of the moment, but Jesus, transcendent, is already living in the victory that will come. So off he goes to Bethany, John chapter 11, verse 21. He says to his disciples, let's go, we'll go to Bethany. Martha says to him, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha says, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. And Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she says. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. You know what I love about this story? That right here, Jesus preaches the gospel to Martha. Right here is our gospel of who Jesus is and what he's done for this woman, but also for you and I, is right here in the middle of this story. That Jesus has come to give us life, that if we believe in him, if we receive him, if we accept him and say, Jesus, I want your love. Come and forgive me of my past. I trust you're my Messiah, that we belong to him. What a miracle and how beautiful it is right here in the middle of this story. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive what Martha had, that confidence in her eternal hope in Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer together. And today you can receive that and have this encounter. So Martha understands this eternal bond that she has with Jesus, that what her brother has, that yes, when everything's done and finished and the dead rise, Jesus is going to resurrect her brother. He's going to resurrect her because they believe in him. She goes, yeah, I get it, Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in eternal life. I believe in heaven. But right now, here, something like you bringing him back to human life. I know there's an eternal life, but a human life, like he's dead, 4 days dead. Like you don't bring someone back 4 days dead, stinky, decaying God. Look, I love your heart, Jesus. But she's thinking, it's too late for that. It's too late for that. John 11, Jesus says, roll away the stone. Martha says, Jesus, are you kidding me? It's going to stink. Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Jesus responds, and this is how he responds to us. Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Didn't I tell you? Come on, will you believe? God is going to reveal himself. Verse 41, so they rolled away the stone. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted out, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Wow. What a moment. Imagine that. This man is fully resurrected, just a normal human. He's not the Son of God. He's just a human like you and I. And Jesus intervenes and resurrects him from the decaying dead. And there's two ones here. A friend of mine, she always has a joke about two ones. One, two ones. There's two ones. There's two ones of resurrection. There's the resurrection in the end, the eternal resurrection. And right here, we are seeing that there's a resurrection today. God wants to do both in your life. God wants to turn up in your space today and bring a resurrection. God wants to bring a miracle into your space today. God wants you to have the faith to believe that he can change things today, that there can be a shift, that there can be a change, that your God is not on holidays. Heaven is open for business and Jesus is in charge. The impossible can be the possible in your world. Friends, God wants to resurrect your impossible. God wants to breathe life back into what you thought could never have life again. God wants to show you that that empty shelf at the supermarket is not your empty shelf. Your Heavenly Father has a full shelf. He has everything that you could possibly need. Heaven is open for business. And the great news is that when we're with Jesus, we are on the winning team. We know we win. The end is set. We are on the winning team. And we all love being on the winning team, don't we? Let's be real. Everyone likes to win. Well, if you're competitive like me, you definitely want to always be on the winning team. And, you know, how good for all the Melbourne fans, all the Melbourne Demon fans, after 56 years to win a premiership. Like, guys, you people are out of control. 56 years, that is amazing. You know, when I, after a couple of years in Melbourne, I worked out that Victoria loves football. So I thought, okay, I probably should have a team of my own. So I thought, who will I pick? And at the time, Port Adelaide was a new team. And I like their colours. Sometimes some of the teams have a bit ugly colours, let's be honest. But they had nice colours, nice uniform. They had a good name too, a good nickname, Power. I thought, oh, I like, this sounds like a good team. So I decided that I was going to be a Port Adelaide supporter. So I went out there, I declared it, and they were doing okay. But to be honest, I sort of lost enthusiasm fairly quickly. They weren't really winning, like, long-term enough, and so eventually I gave up on being a Port Adelaide supporter, and I thought, look, I'll just join Richard following Carlton. And I know it's bad, it's really bad footy culture. If you're out there saying to me, you can't change teams, you've got to stick with your team. I know, but like really, I was a bit of a fake fan to start with. But so I did change teams, And because I wanted to be with the winning team, so I thought, I'll head Carlton, surely there's a win coming their way. But you know what? 2004, Port win. But I wasn't a fan. I'd given up. I'd abandoned them. Don't give up, Christian. Don't abandon your faith. Don't abandon God. Don't be the sort of fan I was. Be a fan like the Melbourne Football Club fans. Don't give up. Hang in there. You might be asking, when God? Don't give up. He's got this. We know who wins. Jesus wins in the end. We just have to trust him. We have to hang in there. So what have you lost hope for? Where does your resurrection need to come? Is it mental health? Is it a restored friendship? Maybe you're trying to purchase a home and you just think, how can this happen? Maybe it's just for normal life again. The hope that we can go back to just living as we once lived, our freedoms and our liberties. Maybe it's your children's future. What have you lost hope for? What are you discouraged about? What have you forgotten the win for? Well, the Bible is actually full of God's victory stories. It's like story after story of, oh, wow, look how God wins. Oh, wow, look how God wins. Oh, wow. And I actually prepared to tell you about Israel, about Esther, about Noah, about Joseph, about Daniel. And this morning, Holy Spirit said to me, tell them your story, Helen. They can read my story. Tell them your story. Where have I shown up in your story and resurrected what you thought couldn't be resurrected? Where have I brought a win into your situation, Helen? Tell them. Tell them. So, and I remember I was in Germany. Either place would be great to get to right now, honestly. But I was in Germany and I'd been asked to preach. And from Friday night until Sunday morning, I had to preach 7 different messages in 4 different cities and travel 1,000 kilometres in that little window of time. So I'd psyched myself up. I was ready for it. I knew what I had to do. But that's massive. Like, you know, I don't preach 7 times normally in a weekend, especially different messages. And, you know, we'd been traveling and all the driving. I don't love driving. So this was a big stretch. But can I tell you, I just sense God's presence carry me through in such an amazing way. I'd taken something. You know, it's like, you know, when the Bible says, don't get drunk, have the Holy Spirit. It's a wow. It's an experience. It's tangible. And God carrying me through that, it wasn't a trauma. It wasn't difficult, but it was a situation that was a stretch. And I just felt the presence of God in every moment. On the Sunday morning, I got up and my iPad had fully crashed, died. I had 1 hour before I had to preach this 7th message. My brain was fried. God, you're with me. Zoom, it just all fell into place. And honestly, God was with me. I've mentioned before the story when I was in a car, a Tarago, rolling, and I just felt this bubble around me of God's peace. You're going to be okay. While I watched everything, dirt and things flying, I just had this amazing peace with me. When I moved to Melbourne in 1991, in the middle of our biggest recession that Victoria has ever experienced. And within 24 hours of arriving, I had a full-time job. I had a paid position. I was on track. Like, that's just a miracle. God showed up in an impossible. The community would say, that's impossible. Don't you understand what's happening here right now? But my heaven is open for business. You know, we had a now word to sell our house just earlier this year. We'd been waiting, we were prepared, and I just felt God say, now, it's today, it's now. Within a week, we were on the market, we'd sold, we went to an auction, we bought within a week. It was just one of those God now tunnels that he puts us in. God can do the impossible for you. God shows up in my space to the point that I'm almost arrogant to myself. I feel bad sometimes how much I trust God that he's got this, that Jesus is my winner and he is on the throne. Story after story is in the Bible of God and his people. walking through history, victory after victory. You can read them. We can live them. We are the walking testimony of God's victory on the earth today. We are on the winning team. Come on. Romans 8, 31 to 37. It says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I love that he doesn't say victory. He says overwhelming victory. Are you discouraged? Are you feeling like, God, where are you? Come on. Overwhelming victory is ours. No matter your distress, no matter your battle, stay calm. Jesus is in charge and heaven is open for business. Come on, I don't know where you're standing, but why don't you give God some praise? Why don't you jump to your feet, do a little dance? You know, God gave me a picture as I was preparing this message. I'm very visual in my mind. He always, like, I see things. And he showed me this picture of this game of people wrestling, was what he showed me. I think they're going to put it on the screen for you. And I found out this morning from Dave that this is called a Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I just saw the picture in my mind of these two plastic robots fighting. And I sensed our Heavenly Father saying that this was a picture of his people. And they're not wrestling with other people, they're wrestling with themselves. And they're wrestling with the spiritual forces. Effectively, we're wrestling with the air. We're wrestling with the intangible. Ephesians tells us that we're not battling with real people, but with the dark world and the evil spiritual powers at work around us. And God said, tell my people to stop. Tell my people to take off their boxing gloves and to lift their hands to me in worship. To stop wrestling, to stop fighting, to stay calm and lift their hands in worship. He says to you, look at me. Look to me, people. Stop. I'm sovereign. I've got this. Stop fighting. Stop wrestling. You know, when Jesus prayed for Lazarus to come out of that tomb, it tells us that he, out loud, so people could hear, he lifted his eyes to heaven. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, need to look to heaven? Why did he look up? If he looked up, we should look up, lift our eyes, lift our hands. Heaven is open for business. Jesus, you are in charge. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Friends, look to Jesus. He is over and above. He is our breakthrough. He will bring us the hope and the courage that we need. Jesus is with us. I don't know if you ever played the game Stuck in the Mud as a kid. You know, when it's like tag, someone tags you. When you get tagged, you have to put 2 feet on the ground and wait for someone to come. They have to crawl underneath your legs like an arch, and then you're free to go again. It was a fun game, one of my favorites as a kid. And you know what? We can go through life feeling stuck. Maybe there's some stuff going on. You just feel stuck. You're like, God, how are we going to shift this? What's going to happen? How do we do this? And as humans, we look at the stuck usually. We look down at our feet. But in that game, you don't look at your feet. You look around you. Hey, come help me. And you call out to your friends and you're looking around. You don't look at where you're stuck. You look at where the freedom comes from. And it's exactly the same with Jesus. We need to look to where our freedom comes from. He is our freedom. He is our liberty. He has rescued us. He is our miracle God. Psalm 25, King David says this to us. He says, look up to God. I love this verse. It says, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he can release my feet from the snare. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at the distress. Don't look at where you're stuck. Look to him. What's got you stuck? What's got you feeling trapped? Where are you feeling like something's missing? Where are you feeling like there's just no hope? God says, keep your eyes on me. Look to him. Look up. He can release you from the snare. a woman shared with me just recently. She's been going through a very, very severe sickness, and she's on the journey with the sickness. But because of the sickness, she'd started to become anxious. This anxiety was now taking over her mind and her emotions, and she was really struggling. So over here, she's got the sickness, but then here, she's got this anxiety. And she said to me, I've had to put my eyes on Jesus. I've had to lift my eyes to Him and trust, you've got this, God. You've got this, God. You've got my healing. You've got my eternity, my resurrection today, the two ones. You've got potential for resurrection today, but I know for sure you've got my next resurrection. You've got my eternal resurrection. I can trust you. You've got this. You've got a miracle here and a miracle there. So in the meantime, I'm going to rely on you. I'm not going to be anxious. And she said when she had this revelation, when she was able to teach her mind that we can trust God, peace, the most powerful peace, and a shift. And her health is, we're seeing winds and miracles everywhere over here, but peace. Come on, friends, trust God, look to Him. Psalm 95. I'm excited. As I wind up, Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7 tells us this. You can read it for yourself. It says, don't harden your heart. Don't forget to stay being a fan of God. Don't get weary trusting Him, because we got to remember His good works, remember His power, and activate our breakthrough. Activate. Believing for God to shift things and change things. Sing for joy, it says. Shout out loud. Bow in worship. Lift your eyes to heaven. Come on, friend, if you're feeling discouraged, it's in your hands to shift things, to start to lift your hands and your eyes to heaven, to declare Jesus. Shout. Say, get it out of your mouth. Bow your knee in worship. Get down on your hands and knees and pray. Say, God, I trust you. I look to you. Sing for joy. Heaven is open for business. Will you come to the counter? What do you need? Come to the counter. Do you need peace? Do you need courage? Do you need wisdom? Do you need healing? Look up. Oh, God, you are so magnificent. Shout out His name. Jesus, I give you all glory. How wonderful is He? Celebrate that God is in charge. You know, I want to pray for us right now. But I actually was blown away by the worship set that came before at the beginning of this service today. And it was all about victory, songs of victory, believing God's going to come through. And I would encourage you, you know, right now, if we were in church, I'd say, come on, band, let's sing that song. Let's lift our hands. And I know when you're at home on your couch and I'm here, it's really awkward. So let's not do that. But would you take the time, go back, worship again, find some space, lift your hands to Jesus. Father God, I pray for your church and your people. Lord, I thank you that you are open for business. I thank you, Father God, that you have not forgotten us. I thank you, Lord, that your Son Jesus is in charge, that the victory is assured. And Lord, we thank you that, Father, we know that you have the resurrection for us. But Lord, in the meantime, meet our impossible. Bring breakthrough, Father God. Meet our need. Turn up in our spaces, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you can see all, that you know all. And we declare that we trust you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message. And I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.